Are you aware of that product? The, like, it's a
canned chicken.
It's a can with an entire, like, a whole chicken, body, bones, everything inside the can.
Actually, no, I'm not familiar with this product, but to be fair, I don't do a lot of my household shopping.
It kind of dates back. What we have going here, and I'll ask you your thoughts on this bet. Some guy has taken Pinder up on a bet. He says Pittsburgh will win in four. If he does not, he is coming in studio to eat an entire canned ham, the gelatinous goo and all.
Wow.
Have you ever enjoyed the delicacy that is canned ham?
No, I have not, but somebody really wants to get on radio.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's very excited.
Well, it's the power of the Pinder RL. Yeah, it's 9 till 10, weekdays.
The magnetic draw. Isn't it unfortunate, and not to come in on a negative note, but the closer we get to game one tonight, it's sure unfortunate for the series, for fans, and certainly for the Nashville Predators that there is no Ryan Johansson. You need that depth at center, and he was really starting to emerge. Watching him battle Kessler in that series, I think that gave him a little bit of street cred, but unfortunately, obviously, now he's out, and he's how do they go about replacing that?
Well, I bet you the Pittsburgh fans would tell you, you'll take a Ryan Johansson, we'll give you a Chris Letang.
For sure.
I think it's interesting. If you take a look at these two teams, you know, Pittsburgh's strengths would appear to be Nashville's weaknesses, and Nashville's weaknesses would appear to be Pittsburgh's strengths. So, you know, I think that's the most fascinating thing about it. You look at the Pittsburgh forwards against the Nashville forwards, and you're sitting there and you're saying, wow, like, you know, the Penguins have a huge advantage. And then you look at the Nashville D and the Pittsburgh D and say, boy, the Predators look like they have a huge advantage, which means, as it usually does, it's probably coming down to what happens in goal. You know, I was talking about this yesterday with Colton Sissons. Colton Sissons is a guy who was a 30-goal scorer, I think, in junior. And he reminded me he was a 25-goal scorer in the AHL. And what you just need is an opportunity to be in that position. You know, Nick Kypreos was a 60-goal scorer in the Ontario Hockey League. And to get into the NHL, he had to completely change his game. And I think, you know, and Sissons and I were talking about this. Everybody can skate now. Everybody can shoot the puck now. The way the NHL game is played, you have to be so good just to make it that I think you've got a better chance of finding somebody who can do a job now to get you through. And I think both the Penguins and the Predators are examples of that.
What do you expect this to look like? Could it be as physical as the Anaheim series? There's no way it can be sit on a lead like we saw with the Sens when they got up.
No, you know, I don't think it'll be that physical. And to be honest, I don't think Nashville's expecting that. I was watching their practice yesterday, Ryan, and Cody McLeod was not taking a regular shift. So I wonder if the Predators are looking at this and saying, this is not going to be the same series as Anaheim. And, you know, maybe there might not be as much of a role for him in this one. We'll see. But I still think it's going to be tough. Like, you know, hockey at this point of year, it's going to be a hard game. There might not be as much as there was in Anaheim, but there's going to be something. It's going to be fast. You know, the Penguins play fast. The Predators play fast. It's going to be a fast, hard series. I just don't think it'll be as brutal as the Anaheim series was.
Yeah, it can't be. I don't know if many
Kyle
series...
Kyle Bukauskas is going right by me right now. Kyle, say hi to Calgary Radio.
Oh, hey. How's it going? Good to see everybody. Good to hear everybody.
Hi.
Elliot's looking very sharp today. And make sure you remind him of that at the end of this interview.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Take
Kyle.
Take care, Kyle. Kyle also wants you to remember I owe him $150. I got to pay him today.
Quite a night.
Wow.
Where were you guys? Hey?
No. He did something for me, so I got to pay him back.
It's a lot of Primanti Brothers sandwiches there.
what did he do?
Sure is. Yeah.
What did you learn at Media Day? The NFL Super Bowl Media Day is an absolute circus. It's nowhere near that for the National Hockey League. Did you learn anything yesterday? I know, you know, Phil Kessel talking about how PK kind of got the shaft in Montreal. Aside from the just the run of the mill standard answers, did you learn anything yesterday?
You know, I don't know if I really learned anything I wasn't expecting. You know, the thing that stood out for me was David Poile. Somebody joked that he was like a excuse me, guys. Somebody joked he was giggling away like a school kid the last couple of days. And you can kind of see it. I mean, 35 years, and finally he gets his chance to and finally he gets his chance to go for the Stanley Cup.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can see the emotion on him and how much it means to him. You know, I thought PK was really interesting. You know, he did that piece on ESPN aired yesterday, and obviously he was big time in the spotlight. And I know David Amber sat down with him for an interview that's going to air tonight. You know, PK is really trying to hold it in. You know, the reporters sure tried to bait him. They asked him if he'd be taking the cup to Montreal if they won. And if they do win, I'm expecting he'll drive it to Montreal that night. It's going to be really interesting watching him over this series, because he's a guy who loves the spotlight and he finds the spotlight. And, you know, I get the sense talking to the reporters who were here from Montreal and Quebec that, you know, they want him to win. So this whole dynamic adds another layer. And, you know, Dean, you were talking about the size of media. I remember the last time Toronto was in the playoffs before this year was 2013. And you couldn't move in the Leafs dressing room.
Mm-hmm.
And this year you could, and you could talk to people. And yesterday, there's a lot of media here in Pittsburgh, but you could still talk. Like, the NHL is a really good setup for media day, and you could talk to players. And I don't think it's because there's less interest. I think it's because there's just not as much enough media. There's been so much consolidation and, media people losing their jobs and papers cutting back and stuff, that I just think that there's less media going to sporting events, which on one hand is a shame. But on the other hand, it gives you more of an opportunity to talk to people.
As far as Subban, because there's so much attention on him, and obviously I think he can handle it. But I wonder now, because he's now the guy, and has always been, but now it's like, look, it's okay for Subban to have fun. Subban has fun. Is there any way he gets distracted by, you know, I got to show how much fun I'm having. I need to really show everybody that you can have fun. I'm that guy that has fun. Is there any part of that that potentially could get away from him a bit?
You know, I think it's a great question, but I think if that's the case, I think people are just used to how he is now. I don't think that he surprises you anymore with how he is around the media. Like yesterday when he grabbed a microphone, like I was talking to one of the media guys, talking to Mike Fisher, when all of a sudden the cameras burst in and he came in carrying an NHL Network microphone.
Yeah.
And Fisher just laughed and the rest of us just laughed because that's him. Like, I think that I think you understand this is the package you get. You get a guy who loves attention and you get a guy who's a great player. And I think there are times like there are times last series and he's played great these playoffs. But there are times when you're winning a game and he'll do something like a spinorama or a rush that no doubt makes his coach cringe. But that's who he is. You understand what you get when he's on your team. You get a great player, and he is a great player, who occasionally will make a play that will make his coach want to scream. And he's a guy who loves to be the center of attention. And I think, and you know what, that's not necessarily bad. Like, you look at the NFL last week, guys, what did they say? They say we're bringing back the celebrations.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I think hockey, and one of the great things about hockey is that, you know, players are generally very respectful. But I think if you look where we're going now, if you want to grow the sport, you're probably going to have to push that line a bit, and PK does that. And so I think that the whole culture of the sport sometimes pushes back against him, but I think where the next generation is and they kind of like that kind of individualism, you've got to have someone to be willing to push the line back. And he certainly is.
Apparently tickets very tough to get in Nashville. I have some buddies heading down. This is apparently expensive and incredibly popular. No surprise.
No. And you know what? I think the players really love it there. And you know what? I think though, the one thing it's done is that it looks like an event you want to be at, right? Like, I'm really excited. Like, I've covered Stanley Cups in Pittsburgh. This will be my fourth Stanley Cup involving the Pittsburgh Penguins. And, you know, hey, so I'm happy to watch it, and I look forward to it. But I'm really looking forward to going to Nashville. I want to see this. You watch it on TV, and it screams, I want to be a part of it. And I'm looking, and the players are all like, you won't believe it when you get there, how good it is. Like they say, TV does not do it justice. The building is loud. The place is crazy. The outside is crazy. You know, you guys have been to Nashville. I remember your wonderful pictures this year, Dean, from your trip there. You know, I'm looking forward to it, though I hope they just don't end up on Twitter.
Yeah, fair enough. You know what? It's funny. There was, I think Francis wrote an article. Can we in Calgary, with a new building, can we have some sort of a situation like what they have there? Because now you can't match Music City, but could you have like a live music, like an area like that with the rink built around it? Because they really do play to each other. And the rink isn't huge. It feels kind of intimate when you're in it. But yes. But it's so loud. I mean, man, build that rink. Give us that rink here, and I just think we'd all be happy. There's something special about what they've got.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. That's why I'm really curious to see what Vegas's game atmosphere is going to be like.
Yeah,
like you know, like Nashville. Like David Poole, I did an interview with him a few months ago, and we talked about Vegas. And I said, you know, what advice do you have? And he said the best thing that we ever did was we created Smashville in the sense that coming to a game in Nashville was going to be like going out in Nashville. It was going to be a Nashville-style party. And this playoffs has been proof of that. And, you know, I think Vegas has signed the company that's doing, that does, what's it called?
Cirque du Soleil.
Cirque du Soleil, yes, to do its intermissions. Like, what does that mean? I'm looking forward to seeing it. And, you know, I don't know if Calgary can recreate that, but there's nothing wrong with saying, look, when you come to Calgary, this is what it's like. And we're going to give you a piece of that in our arena when you guys ever get it.
Yeah. Speaking of Calgary, whenever you put anything into your 30 Thoughts Calgary related, I get texts and tweets.
I'm trying to convince me of your popularity.
Yeah. You typed in the word Sam Bennett into your 30 Thoughts, so people, the antennas go up. Tell us about the context of that within your 30 Thoughts.
Well, you know, it's just that I think, you know, obviously everybody knows that Anaheim's looking to make a move, and the one thing about it is that Sammy Vatanen's injury is Sammy Vatanen got hurt. Lindholm was hurt. And I think everybody was surprised to hear how seriously injured they were playing. And then not only that, but how long their recoveries are. And, you know, Bob Murray said 4 to 5 months for Lindholm. And he said could be more for Vatanen because it's worse. And everybody's reaction was, what exactly does that mean? Like, what does worse mean? Are we talking 6 months? Are we talking 10 months? What are we talking about? And that really throws, there's a lot of people looking at Anaheim's D who want to, when Bob Murray decides what he's going to do, if he's going to move one of those pieces, there's a lot of teams that want it. Those are good defensemen, and Anaheim has a chance to make a great deal. Now, imagine all of a sudden, you're sitting here and you're saying, okay, if we get Lindholm, best case scenario is he's ready for the start of the season. And if we get Vatanen, and I don't think they're really moving Lindholm, most guys seem to think that they won't do that. That puts a lot of the spotlight on Vatanen, but what does his injury mean? And but I think a lot of teams are interested, and I think Calgary would be interested. You know, Brad Tree Living's looking for another top four defenseman. Those guys would certainly qualify. You know, I've heard that the Ducks like Sam Bennett. You know, I've heard there's people in that organization who like him. So I could see the possibility of something being there. But I just, you know, if you look at Bob Murray's history, he's done two deals with Vancouver, Kessler and Bieksa. He did one with Edmonton, Patrick Maroon. And then he did something. And then the rest of his deals are all east. Bobby Ryan to Ottawa, Frederick Anderson to Toronto, James Wisniewski to Carolina. There's Kyle Palmieri in New Jersey. He prefers to send guys out east. And like I said, I've heard they like Sam Bennett, but I just can't see them. His history, is he going to want Lindholm or much more likely Vatanen in torturing him for the next 5 or 6 years? I just don't see it. It's not his history.
Sam Bennett straight up or plus? I would think you'd have to sweeten that.
I don't know. Like I don't know, Ryan. I would assume there's got to be more there, but
yeah.
You know, I just put the name there because I know he's someone that the Ducks like.
And I know somewhere Brad Treliving will be listening right now saying, yeah, we like Sam Bennett too. I've heard nothing.
Yeah, of course he does.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, even wherever you are on, I don't think even fans have given up yet. It's certainly like more the hard thing is, right? you can't help but compare, and you see what Draisaitl has done. Now, granted, picked before him, but still, Draisaitl's an integral piece of that offense now, even with McDavid. And Sam has had a hard time getting close to that level.
You know what I always tell people? It's like people who try to compare growth of their children, right? Well, my kid's in the 76th percentile of height. Oh, my kid's in the 94th percentile. And the one who's at 76 is like, what's wrong with my kid? They're 18 percentage points off. Everybody develops differently. Draisaitl is a stud, but that doesn't mean that Sam Band isn't going to be. He had a tough year this year. But I always look at a guy who's coming off the start he had, and they have a tough year. What comes next? What do they do in the summer? How do they prepare themselves physically and mentally for the next year? Like, the thing I like about Bennett is he's a bit of a nasty little piece of work. And I think in the Pacific Division, if you are going to survive, you need guys like that. And I think he's going to be okay. I don't know if he's ever going to be Draisaitl, but he's going to be a really good player. And I would agree. I think if he ever gets traded, it's going to be for something that is going to give Calgary an awful lot for an awful long time. But I wouldn't look at Draisaitl and say, boy, that makes me worry about Bennett. I think Bennett will be just fine on his own.
He needs a contract this summer, and I wonder what that negotiation is going to be like as an RFA, because he is coming off just a ho-hum year, and because he did arrive in the league with such a fanfare in that playoff run 2 years ago.
Yeah, I guess, Ryan, I haven't really run the comparables, but I would assume that we're talking about a bridge deal. If I was Bennett, I probably wouldn't want to do something with term right now, because it's not going to get him what he could get. You're probably looking without looking out. And again, don't hold me to this because I haven't looked at the numbers, but you're probably looking at something in the $2 to $3 million range.
What is the relationship, shifting back to this cup final, between Jim Rutherford and Peter Laviolette? Obviously, they won a cup together in Carolina, but it was not a harmonious end there. They were speaking nice about one another yesterday, but is there bad blood to some degree?
I'm Peter Laviolette, he's got an edge to him. And I'm sure that he's like the kind of guy who doesn't forget. He's a guy who's like, he's a really good coach, and he's really smart. And Dean, if you were working in radio and Kelly Kirch fired you tomorrow, you'd always want to shove it up his bum, right? Like, that's the way it goes. I think there's always a situation where you're sitting there and you're saying, I always want to do something, beat the guy who fired me. That's the way it goes. People are competitive.
Watch your mouth, Friedman, for God's sake.
It's like a comparison people use.
Yeah.
First Bukowski.
Is it? Yeah.
What?
First Bukowski, now this. Jeez. Come on.
Sorry, guys.
Expect better than this.
Sorry if that's,
you're so foul.
I'm sorry if that's not acceptable. Well, as a line we use all the time.
Mind you, I did ask you if you've ever had canned ham, which is a bit of an oversight. Who does that? Now, you've been around some hockey people, and whenever that happens,
please don't worry about that. Like, seriously.
What else?
I got news for you.
Yeah,
I know a lot of Jewish people who eat bacon. Okay, don't worry about it.
You just never know, right? You never know. Being around hockey people, things you start talking to people. You're there, whether it's Vegas, potential trades. Are you starting to hear some rumbling out there?
Yeah, I mean, I wrote a lot of the stuff I'm starting to hear, like about Dallas and obviously Anaheim. I think we're all kind of wondering what Toronto's going to do. I think Toronto's got some space in the next 2 years. Like, I think Toronto's going to look and say, okay, we've got 2 years before our cap is really crazy. You know, what can we add to do that? I think they're definitely involved in the Anaheim situation. I think Montreal is going to be a pretty interesting team to watch. Carey Price and the contract talks are going to continue this week. Colorado, I think one of the more interesting ones was Tyson Barry. Colorado was looking for defensemen. I kind of thought they'd keep him. And the word overseas was that, no, they're willing to move him as long as it's a good hockey trade. It'll be interesting. I think there's going to be a lot.
Sorry, I just wanted to jump in there. You mentioned Tyson Barry. Just looking at where Nashville is at right now, I remember when they took Seth Jones It was one of those things like, man, that's the last thing they need is another really good defenseman. But he's fallen to them, right? And then they've gone and spun that into what looks to be a very, like a top centerman. It doesn't happen all the time, but it makes you wonder at the top of that draft if it shouldn't just always be best player available, right?
Well, I generally feel that way. Like, I generally feel that you take the best player and then you sort it out. And you get the assets and you just say, okay, I've got all these assets. Now what do I do with them?
Yeah.
That's kind of – but I'll tell you what this Stanley Cup final proves, guys. But everybody knows you got to have good goaltending, right? What are the two most important positions? Defense and right down the middle.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh doesn't have a great D, but they're outstanding down the middle. Nashville right now with Johansson out, not necessarily outstanding down the middle, but look at their D. If you're good in those three positions, goalie, D, and center, you've got a chance.
Just a quick thought. Is there a favorite for Kovalchuk? Anyone leading that race?
Not as far as I know right now. Somebody told me that he thinks he's going to get a big number, but I'm not 100% sure who the favorite is. I heard he wanted to go to the Rangers, but I don't think the Rangers are going to do it.
Yeah.
I wonder about Montreal. It's just a guess, but I wonder if Montreal is going to do this.
Wow. Will Radulov get a cut? Hey, if he convinces him to come there with him?
I don't think so.
No. Hey, enjoy Pittsburgh, and I guess Friday, will you be en route? You'll already be there, right, in Nashville? You'll be hung over Friday.
Ooh, yeah, Friday's interview might be a little rough.
Perfect. Can't wait. It better be rough. Let's put it that way. I'll be disappointed if it's not.
Okay.
Thanks, Elliot.
Just going to go eat some bacon. See you later.
Yeah, enjoy that.